Your healthcare premiums are going up again by about 3.8% on average next year. That's less of an increase than what you saw in 2014 and below the industry average. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller is here with details on the changes to 2015 healthcare coverage. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so these are new numbers out from the Office of Personnel Management. Why do they say premiums are going up next year?
Well, I think there's several reasons that we all can kind of relate to. The first one is healthcare costs go up, right? Inflation, things are always are going up. You can't buy milk anymore for $1.99 a gallon. Gas is up. Well, actually, gas is a little down now, but still, everything's up, 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 it seems like.
But maybe the gas you need from your healthcare provider, that could be up.
Where it gives you, or the indigestion it gives you. John O'Brien is the Office of Personnel Management's Director of Healthcare and Insurance. He says, actually, OPM stopped determining why increases are happening just this year because there were so many factors that was going into it. It actually ended up being too confusing. Now, he says, given the moderate growth this year, no one area felt an increase more than another, with only prescription drug costs really seeing the largest increase among all areas.
Last year, the average increase was 3.7%. And to put all that into perspective, this is the fourth consecutive year of sub 4% increases in FEHB premiums. This is the lowest consistent set of low premiums that the FEHB has had since the early 90s. We're very encouraged by that. I think this is not only are we happy for the program, but it seems that some of the competitive changes put in place by the Affordable Care Act seem to have some spillover effect that is also helping the FEHB. The rate increase for in the government share of premiums for 2015 will be 3%. The average enrollee share will increase by 3.8%. The employee share is rising faster than the government share because of the enrollee selection of health plans.
Now, if you're thinking there, if you're doing the math in your car on your way to work this morning, you're thinking, okay, the government share is 3%, the employee share is 3.8%, then the government-wide average of 3.2%, how do those numbers calculate? And in fact, it's not really an average of those two numbers. I mean, you can't, if you took 3 and 3.8, obviously the middle there is probably 3.4%. Tom, you know me, I don't do math very well.
That was well done, though.
But I can do that much, right. So, but what basically happens here is OPM looks across the entire all 250-odd plans, says, okay, what are they going up? How much are the employees going up? How much are the feds going up? And then, meaning the government's share going up, and then they find that they use a formula to find what that really averages across all of government. So that's why those numbers may not make sense on the surface. The OPM has that special formula. Let me give you one quick example Brian used. He says about 60% of all feds use Blue Cross Blue Shield. He says workers using that insurance plan actually are going to pay more because Blue Cross Blue Shield's premiums are higher than the weighted average, meaning how much the government pays versus how much they'll pay for Blue Cross Blue Shield. So that's the difference there. Let me give you an example, a more specific one around Blue Cross Blue Shield. If you are self-coverage only using Blue Cross Blue Shield, you're going to see a $3.21 increase for self-coverage per pay period. If you're a family, you're going to see an $8.33 increase for per pay period. So about $16, almost $17 a month. O'Brien says the average feds covering self-only will only see an increase, again, of $2.93 for self-coverage and an increase of $6.89 for family coverage, again, both per pay period. Now, if you're this is just for non-postal service civilian federal employees. If you are a postal service fed, you're not feeling so good about yourself. OPM says postal rates for those insured by the FEHBP will increase by as much as 19% per employee contributions. Now, the total premiums will increase only by 3.4%. John Foley is OPM's Director of Planning and Policy Analysis.
There's a couple things going on with the postal plans. First of all, as in years past, the employee contribution is a negotiated amount. It's negotiated with the different postal bargaining units, and so it's not as uniform as John described for other federal employees. So that's one thing that's going on. In the last year, the postal unions have, the employee share has gone up through the bargaining process in general. And there's a little bit of the artifact of the comparison that it makes it difficult to use the employee numbers because the mix of employees in the category last year is different than the mix of the employees in the category this year. So the amount of the increase appears greater than it actually is.
Now, Foley says postal employee contributions are now based on a government contribution cap of 80% of the total cost. That's down from 83.5% last year. Again, you heard that this is all negotiated, part of the postal unions and the postal services negotiations. Real quick, let me just give you a little bit of context around the FEHBP. OPM says there are 257 plans government-wide in 2015. That's four more than last year. I'm sorry, it's one more than last year, but it's four new ones compared to last year, so some dropped out, obviously. OPM says 11 are open to all feds and retirees and their families, and the FEHBP has an annual spend of about $48 billion and serves more than 8.2 million federal employees, retirees, and their family members.
So 11 of the 257 are available nationwide, in other words.
Correct.
And the rest are just regionally available.
Correct.
It's still a big choice, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you got a lot of choices, because even if you don't pick one that's nationwide, you still have plenty to choose from that's regional. So it's not like somebody's only going to get those 11 plans to choose from. And even if they only had 11, that's still a decent, the OPM feels like that's still a decent amount of competition.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Now, that increase you just described is health care. What's going on with vision and dental care next year?
They also are increasing, but not as much. Now, O'Brien says there's about 1.4 million feds and retirees who bought dental coverage over the last few years. They will see an increase on average of about 1.7%. Now, there's about 1 million people who bought vision insurance, and they will see an increase of about 1.5%. So obviously much lower than the overall health care, but still going up. Remember, open season kicks off November 10th. And traditionally during open season, there's been an average of about 8 to 10% increase in feds and retirees signing up for new insurance around vision and dental. That's what O'Brien says.
Last year, we rebid the contract for dental and vision every 7 years. So last year, we had just finished the bidding cycle, and we had added, I think we now have 10 dental plans and four different vision plans, so we had increased the number of dental plans available to folks. And so those plans then price their products every year. So we have a nice competitive market. The fact that we continue to see fairly significant growth within the FEHB of folks who take up both of these programs, I think is an attractive feature for any insured dental or vision insurer who participates in our program. You've got, in the case of dental, 1.4 million people who are opting into some dental plan. That's a pretty nice market to try and get at. And it seems to be, we are being rewarded in the fact that competition seems to be keeping the prices reasonable.
All right, so that was John O'Brien from the OPM. And Jason, last year there were several changes to the plans, as he mentioned, for dental and vision. Any significant differences coming up?
Well, I think there's two big changes this year. The first one is around wellness. OPM in its carrier letter back in March asked providers for 2015 to really focus on giving feds more incentives to improve their health care and their overall health. O'Brien says OPM doesn't really know all the steps carriers are taking, but many are offering incentives this year.
Of the top 20 largest plans in the FEHB, about 40% of them offered an incentive, many of them offering around $50 or less to fill out the HRA.
Now, that HRA O'Brien refers to as a health assessment survey. Let me give you an example. Blue Cross Blue Shield is offering about $50 to take the survey. And then from that survey, employees set goals, and Blue Cross Blue Shield's offering them about $35 to reach those wellness goals. So obviously they're really trying to incentivize employees to take care of themselves. $85 is not a ton of money, but hey, I don't think anyone would pass that up just to try to get a little more healthy as well.
Well, maybe a better plan would be, say, $2 for every pound you lose, or $100 for every pound you lose, or something.
Well, $100 per pound you lose, you get a lot of people
incentive.
Excited.
Yeah.
That's why you're not in the insurance business, Tom.
That's right.
Now, the other major change is around flexible spending accounts and dependent care accounts. O'Brien says there are two new features for flexible spending accounts.
One is we have a lower annual minimum, $100. That lowers the bar for people going in. The attraction for us is this is a good benefit for folks who have any kind of out-of-pocket costs. This is a pre-tax benefit. By dropping it to $100, we avoid having people having the sticker shock of, if I don't use my benefit, I'm going to leave money on the table. So we're hoping this will induce some new people to try these flexible accounts, and hopefully, as they get comfortable with them, use them more in the future. And the other one is the ability to carry over up to $500 of unused funds into the following year, and this is for the health accounts. There will no longer be a grace period. In previous years, you were not allowed to carry over funds. However, you still could incur expenses until March 15th of the following year. The rules for flexible spending accounts are set by the IRS, and you can either do the carryover or you can have the grace period. The rules changed, allowing the carryover last October. We made no decision. We left the grace period in place the last year of the FSA feds because we wanted to study it a bit more. So we did a survey of enrollees in FSA feds, and the preference among people who used the benefit was that they would rather the carryover of 500 rather than the grace period, and that is why we are moving toward the grace period.
Now, just to be clear, what feds will get in the end there is a carryover of up to $500 per year from their flexible spending accounts instead of that grace period that goes into March to, you know, kind of continue to spend whatever's left over in that pot of money from the flexible spending account. Now, all these changes take place January 1st, and open season kicks off November 10th.
Now, do you have any update on that new coverage, single plus one, that Congress authorized in 2013? I guess that was for people that may have had a spouse or a partner that they wanted to cover.
Right. That's for people also who kids have maybe grown up and moved out, almost like you, Tom. You're getting there where you know you're not really a family anymore, where you get coverage that way.
And well, just a family, just not under one roof.
Exactly. Well, I can say a family from an insurance perspective. Actually, that's a big question among some feds. Especially the one that came up to me most recently was a single parents or parents with kids who are under 26 years old. Now, OPM said earlier this year they would implement the single plus one in 2016. But Foley says, when asked that question yesterday, OPM is still reviewing the comments on their proposed rule. He says they know it has immediate impact and they'll get it finalized as soon as possible. So not a lot of more details that I can report to you today, except for it's in the works.
And this is all new, but is there any reaction yet to those 2015 increases headed federal employees' ways?
Well, as you can expect, it's mixed. Some people like it. Some people are less excited about it. One that's less excited is the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association, NARF. They continue to beat the drum of federal employees that are paying more for health care in light of little or no pay raises over the last few years. Joseph Bedouin is the president of NARF. He says Congress should appropriate sufficient funding to provide for a next pay raise to help kind of balance this out for federal civil servants next year. While the National Treasury Employees Union was less combative, if you will, over the increase, saying the release was, you know, they were thankful it was lower than previous years. Now, NTU President Colleen Kelly says they're going to continue to press for actions to reduce premiums for federal employees and retirees and support legislation that would obviously continue the oversight, better oversight of prescription drug benefits. So as you can see, there's good and bad that I think that's they're less upset than they were in previous years, though that obviously feds will pay more out of pocket.
Federal News Radio, it's Jason Miller. Thanks so much for that thorough update.
My pleasure.